Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I am Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Soucy.
And we're paranormal specialists who live in the most haunted city on Earth, Savannah, Georgia. Every day is Halloween in our line of work, so join us as we spin true tales of haunts, murders, and disturbing Savannah history. I'm Madison.
I'm Chris.
And welcome to the most haunted city on Earth. Hello, and welcome back for another episode of The Most Haunted City on Earth. My name is Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Soucy.
And I'm JT Timmons.
And we are going to be doing a ghost mail for y'all today.
You've got ghost mail.
Yeah. Before we get into today's episode, y'all, just a couple of announcements. The Texas Killing Fields live stream is up on Patreon now. So if you guys want to watch that, you can go ahead and head over there. When we are filming this, we have not gone to Texas yet. So fingers crossed, y'all, that we caught some really cool stuff.
And you made it back.
We're coming, or you're hearing this from the grave.
How eerie would that be?
That right? would be. If Hell like, if like this episode went up and we're like currently missing.
Oh my God.
Let's what not put a joyful laugh that was.
I know, literally. What an end.
It.
What an end for JT as a true crime nut he is.
Yeah,
I mean, that would be.
He went as he lived. A true crime nut.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That would track 100%. But yes. So that live stream, when you're hearing this, should be up for y'all to enjoy if you didn't get to watch it live. But also, we have a few new Parent Junkies to thank. So we want to thank Enika Van Lierop. Sorry if I butcher your last name, Enika. And then the Silver Linings Handbook, Sheila Lynn, Jason Blair, and Ashley A.W. Thank y'all so much for joining.
Sorry.
I was going to say thank you for joining us over on the Pair Junkie side.
But yep, yep. Welcome.
But go ahead, JT.
I'm not getting involved.
No.
It's good to see you all. Welcome. Yes.
Welcome to that. We are excited to have you guys. You're joining us at a great time for all the Waverly Hills stuff. Starting next month, we're going to do our deep dive into Waverly Hills and all the jazz that's going into that. So yeah, you're in for a wild ride with us. And so when we are, for the rest of everybody who's listening to the podcast, we are going to be going to Waverly Hills on April 24th. If you didn't know, now you know.
It's going to be a big one.
It's going to
be a big one, y'all. It's going to be fun.
Exactly. It's going to be really fun. And we're bringing the Ghost Brothers with us.
Yes.
So it's going to be a really good time. As y'all know, if you watched anything from The Conjuring House, they are very hilarious and wonderful people. So we're excited to bring them with us to Waverly Hills and see Louisville, Kentucky.
Indeed.
Before the horses get in town. Because
if anyone's from that area, send in a ghost mail and tell us what's spooky around that area. We'd love to see something that that may not be widely known.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. we did do the cryptid series for Kentucky as well. So we
looking
are
looking forward to running into a meth hog.
Yeah, we're exactly looking forward to that and some of the creepy Louisville cryptids as well. So
if there ain't no meth hogs, I don't want it.
I know.
You can get the Barilla.
Yeah.
No, I want a meth hog.
Did you know Cocaine Bear was actually in Kentucky?
I didn't know that, but that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
It does make a lot of sense.
Animals doing drugs.
Yes. So if you're a producer out there and happen to know anybody who worked on Cocaine Bear, I would like to see a Cocaine Bear versus meth hogs.
Cocaine Bear versus meth hogs would be amazing.
A sci-fi original.
Yeah,
it would be a sci-fi original. Get a Sharknado in there.
Honestly, That would be so cool.
Mountain shark.
Mountain shark.
Mountain shark.
The mountain shark's coming for you.
It's the crick shark.
The crick shark.
Oh, that old crick shark.
The crick shark. Stop.
But
little Timmy got a great white baby shark, threw it in the crick.
Threw it in the crick.
Exactly. So yeah, if you know anybody out there, let's make that happen.
Mm-hmm. Not the crick shark.
Not the crick shark, but the meth hogs versus cocaine bear. But let's get into our ghost mail, y'all. So we are kicking it off with Adriana. So hi, my name is Adriana, and I have been having some weird experiences with dreams and sleep paralysis for pretty much my whole life. Okay. That's intense. Mm-hmm. The first experience I can remember was when I was about 7 years old, and I would have these dreams of being chased by a clown.
Nope.
Quite often around my neighborhood.
Nope, nope, nope.
And every time he would catch up to me, I would be bitten or hit. That's horrible. Or if it's like killer
bitten
clown.
By a clown?
That's horrible. Ooh.
Wait.
You know where that clown's mouth's been.
There's a movie called Clown, I think. It's called
yes.
Clown.
Yeah.
And it's didn't he get bit by a clown?
And
he
turns
into a
clown.
Into a
yeah.
clown. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like that's a lit. Werewolf.
It's honestly like really good.
It is. It's pretty good. It's very his transformation is disturbing.
Yes, it is.
Ugh. Well, I shudder at the thought of a grown man in makeup biting me. So it's
some people pay good money for that.
Yeah.
That's true.
I know.
You got to go out to.
Got to pay extra for that.
You got to go out to Arizona for that type of stuff. But, or where is
Nevada.
That?
Nevada.
Nevada. Anyways.
People in Arizona are going, what? Honey, did you hear about this?
Oh, or it's like in 2016, remember when there were just like clowns running around and stuff?
Mm. Yeah, that was not a good time for me. No. I was not enjoying that
mainly in South Carolina. South Carolina.
Florida too.
Yeah,
Florida
too. It was a pretty widespread epidemic of
weird
gag, weird joke. And I think it probably ended in violence to the clown.
Probably.
You know, yeah. Especially in this region.
Yeah.
Like, you stand on someone's property dressed like a clown, you're going to get shot.
You are.
Just don't do it.
Don't do that.
It blows my mind that here is where all that happened. Mm-hmm. Where people are the most offensive of their property.
Seriously. Like, yeah.
There's nowhere else that's more defensive than the East Coast.
It's so
Southeast.
True.
The Southeast. Yes. Everyone's armed.
And Texas.
Yeah, exactly. Well, anyways, on to Adriana's clown problems.
Yes, sorry. Side note.
But yes, when I would wake up the next morning, I would have bruises or bite marks on my arms or legs.
Wow. Nope. What?
Nope.
Are you serious?
No.
Uh-uh.
Oh, no. I don't like that. My little brother would experience the same thing around the same time.
Mm-mm.
Ugh. Our parents would be concerned and check on us constantly and even slept in the same room as us.
Oh my God.
To see what was going on. And without fail, it would keep happening.
Whoa.
It eventually stopped as we got older, but that was the end of my experiences.
Hmm.
The weird dreams started happening again around the age of 15 years old, but this time it was sleep paralysis. Every single time I would experience this, a girl would visit me. She scared me and refused to talk about it. And I refused to talk about it for fear that she would come back. Sometimes I would have sleep paralysis and see her, or I would see her in dreams, that these dreams felt demonic. In these dreams, I would see upside down crosses, fire, and I would hear screaming.
Mm.
I haven't seen her since sophomore year of college, but I have been experiencing new and more intense things.
Oh.
More recently, I have had multiple intense dreams and sleep paralysis.
I got like chill bumps.
I know, seriously.
This is creepy.
It's really creepy. I remember one time I was asleep and I felt like I woke up, but I couldn't move and I was staring at the ceiling in my room. All of a sudden, I hear the front door like someone trying to knock it down. And very loudly, I hear someone say, get up now, they're coming. I sit up and it's silent. I felt like I was awake, but everything was normal, so maybe I was asleep. It just seemed like I was awake. I've heard people say this could be a false awakening, but I have no clue.
Where's our button?
I don't know. Where's
the button?
Jingles.
Damn it, Jingles. Where's the button?
Well, you're just going to have to do it, Jay.
Oh, hell no.
That is correct.
Exactly. There was another incident where I had sleep paralysis and the covers were over my face, which for context, I am very claustrophobic. Pause for button searching.
No, no, it's fine. Okay. It's fine. No, we're listening.
Okay. Which for context, I am very claustrophobic, but it felt like someone was holding it over my face.
Mm. Wow.
I was freaking out because I felt like I couldn't breathe, but somehow I managed to say a Bible verse that I remembered from when I was little and it stopped. The last incident, the button is in the most bizarre place ever, y'all. What? That was the weirdest place imaginable for that. But
Jingles.
Okay. Jingles is playing tricks on us. Or maybe one of the ghosts in the theater are like, I'm so sick of this button.
That's fair.
But yes. Mm-hmm. Now that we have this. So I couldn't breathe, but somehow I managed to say a Bible verse that I remembered from when I was little and it stopped. The last incident was, which was a couple of days ago, I was sleeping and I felt like I was having sleep paralysis. I looked in the corner of my room to see a dark figure standing in the corner, and I kept looking around to see if I could see anything else. And when I looked back, I saw the same black figure leaning over me. I actually woke up and there was nothing in the room. I grew up Baptist / Catholic and went to a Christian university. Anytime I would seek out answers, it just seems like I get the same ones. Pray, read your Bible, and make sure I'm not doing anything that would invite that stuff in.
I mean, there's some truth to that, but at the same time,
if it's already there,
I have an immediate theory about what this is.
Well, let's
yeah,
we'll get to it.
Yeah.
We got to finish reading all of the details.
Yeah.
But I agree on some aspects, but I am tired of not knowing what is happening and feeling helpless. Do you have book recommendations on stuff like this, or can you give guidance on how to deal with this stuff? I feel like I am sensitive to this stuff, but I don't want to go about it the wrong way. I would like to be more open to it, but I don't know where to begin. Sorry for the long story, but if you have any questions, please let me know. That was not a very... honestly, I need to know more about
I need to know more. Yes. I need to know more about that clown.
Right.
And here's my theory is my book recommendation is It by Stephen King.
Oh my God.
And no, the reason being is that this doesn't strike me obviously as a clown. This is something that is like, what are you afraid of at this very point in your life? I'm going to become it. That's what I'm getting. I'm getting Mimic. I'm getting
Boggart.
Well, okay. My you're crazy girl. Anyway, yeah, I'm getting Mimic. I'm getting, you know, potential whatever can, like, demonic presence, even something that can just transition into whatever you will be afraid of at that moment.
Oh, 100%. I do think it's morphing based off of certain fears of yours, especially because it's changed as you've aged, but you keep getting more intense feelings, which means that it is kind of attached to you in a way where it's feeding off the more energy you get as you age, the more powerful it becomes.
And it gets kind of sophisticated as well.
It does. It's learning you in a
it's
way.
It's learning you.
Because being claustrophobic and being held down by your blankets, you know, even just sleep paralysis on its own is a claustrophobic nightmare. So yeah, there's a lot to unpack in that. And as far as like reading material, there's such a wide variety of books that will detail or express or explain almost, you know, very matter-of-factly. But the truth of the matter is you're dealing with something spiritual, something singularly spiritual that you are involved in. So a lot of the peace that you're looking for is going to have to come from your structure. You have the power to banish things that are bothering you, but you have to have the tools. So the question is, what do you believe and what can you put your faith in strong enough to construct a protection for yourself.
Right.
And that becomes like a big question, because we could lead you down other paths. We could tell you about, paganistic rituals. We could tell you about crystals. We could tell you about practices done by cultures all around the world. But in the end, a lot of it has to jive with you. Mm-hmm. The spirit seems to be intimately involved in your life and knows a lot about what would cause you anxiety, pain, fear, and is capitalizing on it. So, it's weird.
Well, and something too that I think might, just as a starting point, just from the point that you made where you said that you remembered a Bible verse that helped. Mm-hmm. It sounds to me, at least, that that does bring you a level of feeling
comfort, right.
Of comfort. Wearing even a crucifix at night when you sleep, that could maybe make you feel comforted, at least knowing that you're protected by something.
You can't really just let go of things that you're raised believing. It doesn't work like that, because you can grow to understand things, but that doesn't change core beliefs. Mm-hmm. Core beliefs oftentimes are the source of our strength, but they're also what is easily preyed upon. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, absolutely. If you can find icons that bring you comfort within a structure that you are intimately aware of or you can put your faith into, then, I would start there. Mm-hmm. I would start with the things familiar to you.
And then expand.
That give you comfort and mm-hmm. then build upon that rather than running headlong into a brand new arena where a lot of it's going to be challenging what you already believe.
Right.
Which could make you more vulnerable before it gives you strength. Look into more potent remedies within your faith structure mm-hmm. while exploring all the other things that we mentioned, crystals and sage and all the things that people things that people use, but know that it's your intent that gives these things greater effect.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big believer in a Mod Podge faith system, mm-hmm. Making it uniquely your own. But yeah, using that as a starting point could be helpful. Or even, I also find, at least for myself, I find comfort in knowledge.
Yes.
And so, so I know, like, I'm sure you've heard a million times from your pastors or whoever, but the Bible does have, a lot of interesting input, at least in the way. That could be a nice starting point as well. It is kind of it's a spell book in a way for, mm-hmm. I know some sure. people don't love that sentiment, but.
Well, and don't forget that there are books excluded from the Bible, mm-hmm. The Gospel of Thomas, the Gospel of Mary, the Lost Books of Solomon, those are available mm-hmm. and they expand upon what you already understand and know. They give you a richer tapestry to house your faith in. So be aware that there are very hesitant to endorse any one method
right.
of dealing with these things. The more you know, the better. Mm-hmm. You can absolutely be researching all the way. But because there's an immediacy to what's happening,
right.
Yeah.
Build on what you do know and what has worked for you in the past. Reciting, biblical passage, absolutely. We hear that a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in sleep paralysis. Mm-hmm. A lot of people just find mm-hmm. calling out to Jesus three times
yep.
in the throes of sleep paralysis can cause you to dislodge from the condition.
Right.
So just know that there are lots of prescriptions out there, but they have to work within your structure mm-hmm. or you will, it might backfire.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And it's important to note also that the majority of people that we've talked to who have sleep paralysis, which are a lot of, my friends and just people that we know, they weren't told about sleep paralysis right. before having it.
No.
Therefore, saying Jesus's name three times, like almost all of them have said that's the thing that works. That has come naturally to them. That was organic during what was happening.
Right.
No, your mom doesn't just, you don't just get, you're not just born and then, you know, your mom says, all right, if you have sleep paralysis, say Jesus's name three times. That doesn't happen. So, you know, I think it's important to note that that came organically to the many people that works for.
Yeah.
There was also a long time ago, we had a story. Somebody had a mm-hmm. type of sleep paralysis and they called out to Brigid, I yes. believe.
Yeah, that's right.
So even deities that you feel deeply, because it is that intent, it's that power mm-hmm. that you're giving right. behind this. Like, I have something that's watching over me, mm-hmm. that is protecting me. That is more powerful than you, whatever you are.
Exactly.
So yeah, I would agree with that. But yeah, I know we didn't give you exact reading materials, but whatever create your Mod Podge, you know, mm-hmm. create whatever you feel the most safe with. And that's a great way to start, but
clown bites.
God, that's horrible. Yikes. That's horrible. But yes, I'm sorry to hear that that's happening to you, but yes, please send us more stories and keep us updated on anything else that is happening. But mm-hmm.
also, did you grow up in Illinois?
Ooh,
just a question.
Interesting.
Oh no.
Oh my God.
Oh no.
Just a question.
I know exactly where that's mm-hmm. going. All right.
All right. Well, moving on to Jen. So, hi, ghostly gang. You've got ghost mail.
Ooh.
I've had a lot of ghostly encounters, but this is the most recent and it is fresh in my mind. I hope you and your listeners, if you read it on air. Yes, hello, Jen. We are reading it on air. Mm-hmm. I hope that you and your listeners enjoy it. My husband and I recently moved to Pooler, Georgia. Ooh. Old Pooler, not New Pooler. LOL.
Okay.
Our house is just a mile and a half outside of the city limits of Savannah. We are originally from Atlanta, and we sometimes worked conferences in Savannah, so we got very familiar with the area.
Local ghost mail.
Yes. We moved away from Georgia for several years right after I retired, but circumstances led us to come back home, and the Savannah area is close to some of our family members, so we came here. Mm. When we first arrived in the area a couple of weeks before Halloween last year, we stayed in a rental right off of Forsyth Park in Savannah while we waited to do a final walkthrough and close on our house in Pooler. Of course, there was a ghost in that old home in Savannah, but she was a friendly, cheerful hostess type woman who seemed to be glad we were there and didn't disturb us at all. Well, that sounds like Savannah.
Yep.
I always joke on my tours and stuff. And I'm like, our Savannahs, sometimes our ghosts here, they realize they're in Savannah and they don't like to leave. It's kind of a common trope with our ghosts.
Yes,
you know?
It is.
Which I guess is good for tourists. You know, they don't really like leaving, which happens when you're alive too. So
yeah, that's true. Not many people get out of Savannah.
Yeah. I used to work as a professional psychic medium in Atlanta, so mm-hmm. I knew she was there, but otherwise there was no signs of a haunting. Just a cheerful and even celebratory energy. No problem. The house we were buying in Pooler was only 5 years old, a super cute cottage style, and was right for the two of us. There was literally no issues at the inspection, and the final walkthrough went well, but we found out after we closed that it had already had two owners. The first owner retired and built the house, but sadly he passed away only 3.5 years after retiring and settling into his dream home. His wife sold it to a young couple who moved in after that, and they left only 1.5 years later. Enter my husband and I. Same day as closing, we began moving boxes into the house. I was unpacking some things while my husband ran to the store. I was alone in the house for the first time, and I was immediately afraid. Now, I am older with a lot of life experiences. I worked, as I said earlier, as a medium, so I also have a lot of experiences with the dead. My sister is a longtime paranormal investigator in the Atlanta area, and I've been on paranormal hunts and taken paranormal classes, taught mediumship classes, have done house cleansings and for people, etc. I read tarot and do energy healing. Not much frightens me, but I was immediately feeling terrified in our new house. Uh-oh, in all caps.
Yeah.
I tried a few different things to handle this haunting on my own here, sage and speaking to the ghost directly and such, with no luck. I kept having the feeling that someone was watching me and coming up close to me or behind me. I couldn't see what it was, which is a bit unusual as I am clairvoyant, but I knew something was in the house with me. I'm pretty sure that fear was blocking me. I did keep seeing these terrifying images popping into my head, these gruesome monsters and ghouls and the like. I don't watch horror and I don't ever see images like those, so this was very bizarre and concerning.
Yeah.
I would immediately banish the image or the pictures from my head and they would just pop in. And each time I passed a door or window, I would see a huge snarling dog baring its teeth at me outside. This was in my mind's eye. It was very unnerving. Hmm. The first night we slept in the house, we didn't have any beds yet. We were too tired from unpacking that night to drive back to the Airbnb in Savannah, so we just slept on the sofa in the floor. I didn't get any sleep. I just kept waking up feeling like someone was there. The next night, we were also too tired to drive back to Savannah, and honestly, the place in Savannah was pretty dusty, which isn't good for us to sleep in. But my husband insisted that we needed to go back to Savannah because he wasn't going to sleep here again until he got a bed. He was being unusually stubborn and even mean, which he never, ever is. We had a huge fight about where to sleep, even though I was good with the floor and he was getting the couch. And we don't usually fight like that. He finally relented and stayed here, but we didn't get any sleep again. Our mattress arrived the next day, and that night we stayed in our new house again. Mm. When we were lying on the mattress about to go to sleep, I heard footsteps in the living room. I asked my husband, who doesn't even believe in ghosts, even though we've had many experiences with them, LOL, if he heard that, and he said, oh yes, I've heard footsteps and other strange noises in here every night since we've started sleeping here.
Oh boy.
This house is strange. Yo. Alrighty then. It has to be pretty bad for him to admit something like this.
That's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm. A few days went by, same old, same old. We kept hearing sounds now, even during the day occasionally. We kept feeling like someone was here, and I kept seeing the images in my head, especially the dog, whenever I went near a window or a door. It got to the point where I just refused to be in the house alone ever. Luckily, my husband was off of work for the move, but he would be returning to his evening job soon, so I had to figure out what to do about his presence and about this presence in the house that just seemed hell-bent on frightening us. Mm-hmm. We had just moved a long way across the country, and I wasn't going to run out of our new home. I finally texted a friend of mine in Atlanta who does house clearings and people clearings. I wanted to see if she was picking up the same vibes that we were and if she might have better luck than I had at sending whatever this was on its way. I gave her a brief synopsis of what was happening. She told me that we had three ghosts, a 66-year-old man, a woman, and a 16-year-old girl. She said that the man was the problem. He was really angry, and that was what we found so scary, his anger. I asked her if there was something on the land outside, too, because of the vicious dog I kept seeing whenever I passed next to the door or a window, but she said, no, the land is totally clear. The issue is in your house. Mm. She said we would do a distance clearing on our home later that afternoon when she got through with a couple of clients. I could feel the second that she did the clearing because energy in the house changed immediately from frightening to peaceful. The presences were gone and the house felt empty and safe again. The frightening monster images in my head stopped, the sounds stopped, and the feeling of being watched vanished too. What a relief. But the images of the growling and snapping dog outside still showed up in my head whenever I went past a window or a door. Interesting. But on the whole, I could tell that there were no more presences inside of the house, which was good. But something was still wrong outside of the house. I just knew it. Hmm. I met a couple of very cool neighbors who turned out to also be a bit woo-woo. and I told them about my former ghosts. They told me that they thought the angry man was the man who had built the house. They said he was very kind and a good person in life, and everyone loved him. Aww, is what she said. But that he would probably be very angry that he had died without getting to fully enjoy his retirement and get to do everything he wanted to do with the house, etc. He was the same age when he died as our male ghost. Interesting. There was also a woman who lived on our street who was murdered, so maybe she was the female ghost. Don't worry, everyone else on the street is doing it okay. LOL. After doing some research, it appears that our house could be located on what was part of the old Coldbrook Plantation at one point. Mm-hmm. This land was owned by the same people who owned Coldbrook anyway. There is a very cool story I heard about the Coldbrook Plantation house, which might have something to do with our 16-year-old ghost. When Sherman's troops arrived at Coldbrook, the man who owned it was away, and his pregnant wife was there to greet them. She pleaded with the Union soldiers to please spare the house because she would certainly miscarry if they burned it down, and she had no place to live. For some reason, they took pity on her and allowed the house to stand. They stole all of her valuables and took all of the horses, except for one, because earlier that day, her 16-year-old daughter had jumped out onto her horse and had ridden out to warn all of the other homeowners in the area that Sherman had arrived in the area quite a dangerous thing to do for a 16-year-old girl. Mm-hmm. I heard this story the same day I learned that we had a 16-year-old female ghost. Even though I didn't know if this girl died at 16, I believe that this is the age she prefers to be, the age when she tried to help her neighbors. I do believe our 16-year-old girl ghost was this same person. On to the dog I kept seeing outside a few weeks ago. I decided to do some gardening in the front yard. I had just opened my front door and began to step outside when a vicious dog lunged at me from behind my garage door, snapping at me. Luckily, I jumped back quickly enough to avoid being bitten. I wasn't all the way outside of the house yet, and I was able to grab the door handle and pull myself back inside out of the way of the dog just in the nick of time. The door was a glass storm door, so I watched through it as the dog paced back and forth in front of the door, growling and baring its teeth at me. That was the dog I had been seeing outside in my mind's eye all of those weeks before. Turns out my next door neighbor owns this vicious dog, so it has been outside of my house this entire time over at his house. When I told my neighbors I was almost attacked, they told me that other neighbors also had the same unfortunate experience. Others had tried talking to this neighbor about the dog to no avail. One neighbor had even threatened to shoot the dog if it came after his dog and or child again. So this dog is a real problem on our street.
Oh, yeah.
We decided that since others had already tried talking to the neighbor that had done nothing, we would just report the incident to animal control immediately. As soon as we did, my visions of the vicious dog went away. I guess someone on the other side was trying to give me a heads up about this dog, or maybe even get me to report it to keep it from attacking or scaring anyone. I haven't seen the real dog again either since the animal control officer visited our neighbors. All's well that ends well in this ghostly part of Pooler. I hope you enjoyed that story about our recent move to your neck of the woods. I'd love to hear any impressions that came to mind as you were listening to it.
Yeah, wow.
I just recently found your podcast, and I have a lot of episodes to catch up on. I love to listen to you every night while my husband is at work.
Aw.
That's very sweet.
Yeah.
And since the house isn't haunted at the moment, it's no problem at all. Please keep up the great content. You three are the best. Sincerely, Jen and Pooler.
Thanks, Jen.
That was excellent. That was a great. And
that was awesome.
Yeah, you covered all bases.
Yeah, you sure did.
You gave us the ghost story. You gave us the ghost solution. It's all there. It's all well packed up.
Yeah, yeah.
You did all the research. We so
that was awesome.
My only notes are great research. Great.
Literally,
well done. A lot of people do not spend any time trying to figure it out as much as they do, you know, trying to just deal with it, which you did as well. So yeah, kudos.
Yeah, kudos. Seriously. No, you did literally everything we would have recommended to you. So it's
yeah, it's like, we might need to get some pointers from you, actually.
Yeah. No, seriously. But very interesting, too, that you were able to trace your exact property back to that plantation.
Yes.
Which is fascinating. And I think you're absolutely dead on, no pun intended, that it is probably that 16-year-old girl who's hanging out. And
it was probably the most momentous thing she had done in her life.
Exactly. So that
becomes kind of the age of awareness of who you are as a person. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's very likely. We talk about that a lot on the show, is that spirits can appear as they feel. Not, you know, if they died an old person, that doesn't mean you'll see an old person as the ghost. They may come back in the identity that they most want to present as. So, yeah, that's very cool.
Mm-hmm. Super cool. And I think you were right about the old man. You know, you're that would actually make a lot of sense that he would be very upset that he didn't get to enjoy his dream home and things like that.
Right. Especially if you think that, you know, he worked all his life, got into retirement, built the house, and then died before really, you know, getting any of the enjoyment that he had saved up his whole life to have.
Mm-hmm. That resentment sometimes builds up with spirits, and we like to call that unfinished business.
That is some unfinished business right there.
You know, but part of me wonders, maybe the cleansing just kind of settled him. I'd be interested to see if he...
Well, at the very least, it addressed that activeness.
Right.
You know, because the spirits might still be there, but that cleansing doesn't always like mean the ghosts are gone. It just means it addressed the spike of their behavior. And maybe it just kind of mellowed out everything.
Exactly. So keep us up to date if you get any more spooky encounters out there. And I hope they got rid of that dog. That is horrible.
Yeah. And even that, there must be something about the location that heightens your abilities to include precognizance. I mean, that's an impressive feat. But given that, you know, your friend over the phone was able to say, oh, yeah, there are three spirits in your house, suggests the level at which your house was resonating with that kind of energy. So, you know, your house may be just sitting on a very energetic, you know, ley line or, you know, crossroads for spiritual energy, allowing you to tap into gifts that are beyond clairvoyance.
And there's a lot of water over there, too. So a part of me wonders if that helps, you know, amp some things up. A lot of times if you're near a river or a creek or things like that, because if you're over an old pooler, you probably are near something. I'm throwing ideas out there, but it's a very cool story. And honestly, Jen, if you want to come on the podcast, you're welcome.
I was just about to mention that.
I would love to. We'd love to hear
more
stories.
We'd love to speak to a professional medium.
Yeah. You know,
because that's a fascinating field. And I don't think we've had a professional medium on.
I don't think so.
Don't think so.
But yeah. So Jen, let us know if you want to do that, because I'd love to hear more about your stories, even in Atlanta or where you were across the country. So yeah. So thank you, Jen. And so for our last ghost mail, we have Rowan. So, dear Most Haunted City gang, that sounds like the Scooby-Doo gang. I like it. I've been thinking about sending you an email for a while, but not sure how to write it out. I enjoy listening to the podcast and want to share the spooky goings on that have happened to me in my workplace. I'm from the UK and currently work in a nursing home for the elderly. Oh boy, I know. I already know you got some creepy stories. As a night care assistant, it's not spoken a lot about the fact that it being a home for the elderly, it's only natural that many people die whilst living within the home.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
It's a sad part of the job, but has made me more settled about the process of living and dying, as I used to be terrified of the whole idea. Now, I've been working in a nursing home for the last 2 years, and it is an unspoken rule that anyone new who works in the home at night, we don't share experiences until they come to us, so as to not scare new staff away. We have all had experiences, and so this isn't necessarily a story, but an ongoing list of experiences that I am sure will continue the longer I work there, and regular experiences that become a part of the job. There used to be an old lady who inhabited a room on the top floor whose Alzheimer's progressed, so she didn't speak anymore. but refused to go to her room or stay in there. The room was always has always and continues to give me the heebie-jeebies. But one particular day, the woman had refused to go to bed all night, so I was sent to get her some clothes. There were four rooms at the top of the corridor, parallel to each other. We'll label them 1, 2, 3, and 4. 1, 2, and 4 were inhabited by elderly women, and 3 an elderly man. I had an uneasy feeling in my stomach going into room 2 to gather the ladies' clothes. Eyes to the floor, straight to the wardrobe, and out again. As I left the room, I heard a man's voice in my ear say, "Leave the curtains."
Oh, wow.
I checked rooms 1, 3, and 4, and they all remained asleep. "Okay," I said in a small voice and tried my best not to run down the corridor. The lady who lives in this room now often talks about a man telling her things, but I haven't heard anything from this room since. The next one says, I was once setting the dining room for breakfast when the door leading to the additional lounge started rattling. This also happened to me next to room 1 and on another corridor. It lasts about 30 seconds, but in the dead of night, it can be really creepy.
Yeah.
I can imagine. Another one is on one of my checks with another member of staff. I was walking along the lower corridor and the lid from one of the bins in the bathroom around the corner was thrown at me.
Whoa.
And just missed. All the residents on the lower floor are bed bound and most were asleep at that point in time. Some more is we've had stories from residents regarding a woman and 2 children visiting them throughout the night. This annoys some patients and we get calls to remove them from the bedroom. So we sometimes have to act out telling them to leave so the patient can sleep.
Wow.
A little girl has also been described by separate residents with lovely curly hair and it's beautifully dressed in a white penny dress and painted shoes.
Mm.
We see regular shadow people. We have a 3 o'clock shadow that you can see the movement of the feet below the door, but can see no one through the glass in the door.
Wow.
I also once was getting frustrated with a resident who kept coming back to our station and asking the time. I reiterate that he cannot go into other people's bedrooms due to privacy.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, I saw the back end of someone as they were walking into a room and presumed it was this man. I went over to guide him back to his room, but he wasn't there and had laid back down on his bed to sleep. I haven't mentioned that to one of to other staff. I was once sitting in the reception area with a couple of other staff members chatting whilst we were doing our paperwork. We stopped talking, hearing footsteps along the corridor behind the reception, waiting for someone to come through the door as they sounded like they were getting nearer, but no one came through.
It's a haunted place.
Literally. The hallway was empty. This happened a few times that particular night. These are the ones that come to mind as I write this, but I am sure there are many other experiences that I sometimes choose to ignore. I follow a guy on TikTok called Latinos Against Spooky Shit, which really cracks me up. But to help me from not being scared, I remind myself that I saw something. If I saw something, I didn't. I also presume that if we have done the best care for these people in their last days/years, then they aren't going to hurt us. I also carry Labradorite, Tiger's Eye, and Black Tourmaline for protection on my work keys and Lepidolite in my bra to keep me calm.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for reading. Sorry it's so long. Peace and love, Rowan. No, I love a good compilation of spooky
that was
things.
Great.
No, that was fantastic. And it's not surprising. Immediately when you said that you work in a nursing home, we all were like, okay, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And I think a lot of these encounters, some of them sounds to me at least like loved ones or spirits that are attached to these people who are just trying to also make them comfortable in their latter years, especially the woman.
With 2 children.
Yes.
I found that one very interesting.
Intriguing. It is very interesting.
Yeah, same.
You know, because that could be siblings and a mother figure for that person, because, you know, how we've mentioned in the past that sometimes spirits don't show as, you know, their age that they passed. And sometimes they want to be children, or it could be those that's how the spirits are presenting, because that's how that person wants to remember their loved ones, and they're coming to help them cross over.
Or just the concept of the joy that a visit would bring, mm-hmm. and a spirit creating a mimicry of the facsimile of family visiting. When you think of like a daughter coming with their children to visit grandma or grandpa in the nursing home, and the kind of joy that that would elicit from the people living there, it's possible that the spirits are trying to recreate that joyfulness, you know, and it may not be any particular woman and child. It could be a representation in hopes of eliciting peace and joy. And, you know, it could be just a goodwill spirit, not understanding that showing up at 3 o'clock in the morning,
that's not the time.
It will cause more trouble than not. I especially like the idea of people like calling in, get these people out of my room. You know, it's like, what are you doing? It's time to sleep. And they're like, Oh, Grandpa.
It is I. But yeah, I mean, I love nursing homes stories. I think they're so endlessly fascinating, especially because.
Yeah, I very rarely hear scary stories from those establishments, because
right. mm-hmm.
those establishments are generally about care.
Yes.
And I'm sure there are scary stories, don't get me wrong. It's just that I have yet to really encounter any. So, you know, kudos for running an organization that seems to be helping and being kind.
And even the creepiest one, where it was the man saying, leave the curtains, you know, it's like, I still think that could be somebody's loved one being like, she likes the curtains open.
Don't close the curtains. She likes looking outside. I realize you're in the UK and this is not the accent of the guy who's sitting there talking about the curtains.
But that is the man's voice that we are associating.
Yes. Could you leave the curtains open, please? Thank you very much.
Thank you. But thank you, Rowan, so much for sending your stories. And if your coworkers also want to send some stories about their experiences, let us know.
Absolutely.
We love hearing them. But anyways, thank you so much, y'all, for sending in your ghost mail. If you have a ghost mail that you would like to send in, you can send it to ghostmail@hauntedcitypodcast.com. And we are always, always ready to hear a good ghost story. So, and don't feel bad for sending long ghost mails. We want details, y'all.
Went long. Yeah, go long.
Go long. But with that, y'all, thank you so much again. My name is Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Susie.
Stay spooky, y'all.